My name is Norma Green. I'm a retired farmer. We live in Scio Township near Ann Arbor. We grew shiitake mushrooms and marketed them all over the area. I became involved with ICPJ during the Vietnam War when we were trying to stop it. And went to all the mailing parties. ICPJ put out a newsletter periodically, and volunteers would get together to put it together and put the address labels on and all that sort of thing, staple them together. And then I started hearing about this new interest, and I think that Kathy Hayes had a lot to do with that. Kathy Hayes was the director for a while. Tom Hayes, her husband, was the director when Barbara Fuller was the director when I first got involved, 1966 or 67. I've got a long history with ICPJ. Yes. And I don't know when we started meeting as a committee, but our first farm tour was in 1984. The whole purpose of the NIN Food and Justice was the closer we are to the source of our food, the more we will care about how it is grown. So I was very interested in the comments that Joe and Ruth said at the end about the new interest in maybe addressing climate issues and sustainability, because that's what we were all about. We were talking about the importance of having a local agriculture and supporting our farmers. This was a period of time when farmers were in real trouble. There were farmers in the plains area who were committing suicide. It was a bad, bad time. A lot of farmland was lost, and everybody was pretty discouraged. So we felt, okay, well, let's at least support our local farmers, make sure they survive. Well, the farm economy was way in the tank. That happens periodically, as we all know.
I'm Gil Whitney. We live on a farm in Webster Township, just north and west a bit of Ann Arbor. My grandfather bought the farm in 1900, so I'm kind of the middle generation of farming because I have a granddaughter who is starting up very active farming on the land. We were interested in ICPJ, and it became, I believe they had a session in which they were talking about world agriculture. And it just occurred to Norma and another group that we can't do a lot about that at this time, but just let's introduce local agriculture to the Ann Arbor community. And Norma, I believe you may have even chaired the first meetings or so on that. I came to it just basically as the farm viewpoint of the program. I don't know beyond that what you need to.
You might mention that I think that one of your motivations was that you and Kathy had spent time in Africa, where they saw the issue of hunger and justice, and brought that back with them and brought that to their church. And their church to this day is very active on food and justice issues. And their church is, well, tell them about your church and what your church does.
Well, the church is just up the road. Actually, it comes nearly to the edge. Our farm goes nearly up to the property of the church, Webster UCC Church. It's a small, kind of picturesque church standing not on a tall hill, but on a knoll, and it's just had a long agricultural history.
Isn't it the oldest church in the county, somebody said?
The oldest in continuous use. The church was founded framed in 1934. Again, I'm the center of five generations that have been active in that church. So that was the basis from which we kind of begin to attend land food and justice meetings and things like that.
And we tried to encourage people to visit their local farmers markets. Ipsy has a farmers market. Of course, Ann Arbor has a farmers market. Since that time, farmers markets have appeared all over the place. And, of course, we feel totally responsible for that. We encourage people to use the People's Food Co-op because the People's Food Co-op tried to support local farmers by buying their products. There was a wildflower bakery that we talked about, and there was the soy plant, Ann Arbor soy plant, which I think still produces tofu for the locals area. We talked about U-Pick farms. We had monthly seasonal potlucks sometimes at area churches where we would get together and we'd say and talk about why we did what we did. We did a cooking demonstration at Carytown we produced this cookbook, I think 1985 is the date on it. I don't remember. I don't know. We must have started work. Yeah, 1985. We must have started work in 83 if we did all that in that period of time, right?
Probably, yes. I don't know. And Land, Food, and Justice was having this emphasis on world hunger. In my recollection is that because of that, we said, well, we really can't do a lot, except maybe as an advocate on food and hunger. So therefore, let's look at our rural agriculture and production of food in Washtenaw County. In that program, when I became involved in it, we were just meeting and kind of wondering what we were going to do, and the farm tours, which started Norma was the spark plug and the one who did so much legwork. And I believe the last farm tour was when Norma said, oh, I just can't do all this alone any longer, and it faded out. But at that time, we had contacted a county agent, it was Bill Ames. And county agents in those days had the flexibility to have a lot more on-hands help than they do now. And so I think he was the one that made it vital to the farms because he presented us each year with a list of possible farms and was wise enough to really... Over that time, we really had a wide variety from a community farm to various, at that time, I don't think factory farms were an issue, at least in Washtenaw County, they're none, so they were principally family farms. And for them to host a tour was really a lot of fiscal labor and preparations for the farm family. And we just kind of came in, did two farm tours on a Saturday to two different farms and just sort of acted as the host. We usually found a local church in that area to sponsor a luncheon. Norma, did they have a speaker at the luncheon? Or just?
Yeah, so we usually had some questions and answers and sort of, yes, we did have somebody that would get up and say something. I remember getting up and saying something very silly, but anyway, you met at the farm, and we didn't have a bus.
And how many folks participated?
Well, we had quite a few. Sometimes, I never counted, but you sort of, if you went to a church basement for the lunch, you'd get an idea of how many people, and you'd fill up that church basement. And there would be all ages, and kids too, and we had activities. We had so many wonderful volunteers. I mean, our Ann Arbor Environmental Education Program involved themselves in helping entertain the children during the tours and also at lunchtime, special activities that were farm-oriented, food-oriented. It was only successful because people obviously wanted to do this. It was something that really appealed to them to do, so everybody got involved and did the work. And it's always amazed to me that these things actually came came together, and always you always felt very good about them at the end, that you really had, the people had really connected to what you were trying to, what you were trying to say. I was going over the list of farm tours, and I mean, in terms of farm crisis and what's happening to farmland and all that sort of thing, a lot of the farms that we went, they're gone. Some of them are still there. Quite a few of them are still there. The Community Farm of Ann Arbor, the first CSA, Community Supported Agriculture, we had a tour of their operation in 1988. That movement has just exploded. There are, I don't know how many CSAs in the Ann Arbor area
there are
now.
35.
35. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. And we take full responsibility, so, but anyway. But farmland was disappearing at an enormous rate. Farmers were feeling stressed out. Farmers were tempted to sell their land because it was worth a lot more than they could make as farmers. And so we were losing that. So we also had programs with Ecology Center. And, of course, the whole movement for farmland and open space preservation got really underway there. Now, what? How many acres of land now has been set aside permanently, will not be developed in our area? It's rather incredible to watch what's happened. It's wonderful.
I think at that time, as Norma mentioned, that it was a farm crisis. They would say, I think 85 was a very, very hard time for farm families. Of that, we didn't dwell on that a lot on the farm tours. We did visit one farm who said that he had financed the farm through what turned out to be not non-sustainable, but at that time it was just really trying to keep going by borrowing money. And yet some of the farms are still around. And it wasn't entirely farms either. We visited a Schettenhelms, which was at that time producing tofu and raising certified, I believe, organic. And then we went from organic farms to community farms to some production things. It was an amazing variety and very inclusive. The idea was we would present to the Ann Arbor community and much of it, of course, was the university community, information for that of what the farm actually is. Nowadays, in the farm community, there's a lot of emphasis on introducing farm areas and farm resources and reasoning to the community a lot. There's a big emphasis on that, and they are very, when you go into the farm publications thing, there's just a lot about, probably triggered by factory farms and the negative that had as far as their relationships with and the attitudes.
Plus the sustainability and the pollution that factory farms are responsible for.
Yeah. And anyway, so that now is an emphasis in the farm community, but at that time, I don't know how much we really led, but we certainly were there was very few efforts similar to that that I'm aware of in the state.
After I quit my job as a staff member and leader coordinator of Land, Food, and Justice, because we had purchased a farm and my husband and I were producing shiitake mushrooms for the commercial market, and I was also selling vegetables to the co-op, and so I just really didn't have the time anymore. And but just our relationship with the whole farming community, I don't know if anybody came back and said, you're responsible for anything, but just my personal relationship to the farming community became so. I still know all the farmers that we visited and many more, and became involved in. There was a local organic organization. There was a Michigan organic, and I became a little leader of the local group, and we continue to do the sorts of things that we had tried to do with ICBG, but more emphasis on the sustainability and the organic side.
Do you want to talk about how the book came together?
Well, how did this come together? I don't know who came up with the idea or what, but we all pooled recipes, favorite recipes that we'd. And we had this wonderful member of the Land Food and Justice Committee whose name is John Weaver, and he's still around, and he was the computer guy. This would never have happened without John. And we had a local artist. My son's best friend was Jonathan Wright, who was the illustrator, and he basically for free made all these wonderful illustrations for our cookbook. And I don't know, it came together, and I think in 1987 we started to push it places. We put it in local bookstores. I did have people come and say, oh, I sent that to so-and-so, and of course all the members of the gave it all to their children and everybody else. So it got wide distribution as a result. And we tried to, I don't know if people read introductions to cookbooks, probably not. But in their introduction, we said why There Is a Season, which is the name of the cookbook, There Is a Season, and why we were doing what we were doing, and the local focus, but also the broader world focus that, in fact, that if we produce more of our own food and don't support the sort of exploitation of farm land and farmers in third world countries, that we would be helping the hunger situation in the world. That if more food were grown and consumed in those countries, that those people would be in better shape. And so that came about, and people are still using it. In fact, Rebecca Canner, who was also mentioned in the first interview, she came up to me at a presentation that was made at Beth Emmett and said, I'm still using your cookbook.
it seems like, I don't know if we can take credit for everything, but it seemed like at that time the Land Food and Justice Committee was at least pioneering on many things that now are more common, and there's a larger effort. It'd be fun to take a lot of credit, but I'm not sure that. But it is. It was really a pioneering type of thing that happened at a time when it was very unusual, and I think very successful.
I was, of course, devastated when ICPJ jettisoned the Land, Food, and Justice Committee. I don't quite know why. Perhaps the interest wasn't there anymore, and we had done our thing, and we did sort of percolate, didn't we? And I remember one member of the steering committee saying to me one time, she's saying, you know, I really think that what the Land, Food, and Justice Committee did was probably one of the most important things that we've ever done. And in terms of present day climate change and all those horrible things that are down the road, that sustainability became a word that people knew. What is sustainable? Are we going to do things that are sustainable, that we could continue to live on this planet?
I don't think, especially since we were focusing on Washtenaw County, at that time, there was no food lots or anything in the county, so that wasn't an issue as far as the farm community was concerned. Washtenaw County, at that time, had an awful lot of farms, which were relatively small, and they were starting to get machinery to do more, but they at that time they weren't. Of course, this was in a time, economic time for farmers, when this wasn't a possibility. Washtenaw County, I believe at that time, we were milking cows. And now, from our location, there's one dairy farm near Dexter, and I believe that's now the only dairy farm from that point on into Detroit.
One of our farm tours was a local dairy, was the Schlowchuk farm, which is now a golf course. So, yeah, and in the history of Washtenaw County, because it's pretty hilly, was a very good place for sheep farms. In fact, it was probably one of the foremost sheep-producing areas in Michigan.
Yeah. Well, at one time, it had more sheep per county than any place west east of the Mississippi.
Right. Our farm, the farm where we farm, was a sheep farm. And sheep make good sense on the sort of land that's in the county. I think that one of the farms that we visited, which is still in business, gave a good impression, a good idea of what a sustainable farm might look like. It was the Lesser farm, because this farm produced, it was so diversified, and it still is.
It still is.
It still is. It does beef, pigs.
They have some sheep.
And they don't still do sheep, do they?
I'm not sure if they have sheep.
No, they don't do sheep, but they have chickens, so they do a lot of eggs. They have a wood lot, and they sell firewood. They have bees, so they do honey. They have an extensive apple orchard, so they're probably one of the biggest marketers of cider in the county. And that was, you know, that was, of course, my idea of what a farm should be, you know, rather than growing corn and soybeans, and that would be it. But and it's very encouraging that farm is still going
and doing about nearly the same.
Yeah. The whole experience for me was transforming, being part of ICPJ. I'm still part of ICPJ, being so intimately involved in the land, food, and justice. Was transforming for me, and I think it was transforming for the people that we interacted with. And I think that Joe mentioned it, is the fact that ICPJ can change and take up things that are important to the community. So the fact that they're getting back into the food thing, it's a wonderful thing, and wonderful work that's being done.
Yeah, I think ICPJ was at that time the only outlet we had for the area of agricultural farmland interest, and without that, the farm community was very isolated and just kind of talking with itself. And without that emphasis or that opportunity, ICPJ was the ones that allowed this to happen. And as it changes, it makes it a very vital organization. And as I think I said before, the farm community is just, within the last few years, has really started to think about how they are. Of course, they've been kind of boxed in a corner by public opinion, but they're striking back. They have a very active program, which they call Breakfast on the Farm. They pick a farm in the area. I think there's four areas within the state. And they draw very, very well. We can't claim that we started it all or outlined it, but we certainly were the ICPJ had allowed the platform for these things to happen.
Exactly right. And farmers had a voice. There's so few farmers in terms of the population, and so they really don't have a chance to talk to people and tell people what they're doing.